saying it to him all day. Yo, what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Yo, what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up? Come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearingly stuttering host, Matt Sroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover and a guy who spent his past week updating his resume to be the AV director at Bishop Sycamore High School, the button lover, Josh Sroka.
Is that the school that got on ESPN?
Yeah, did you pay attention to that story?
Yes and no. I mean, I read some of it, but it's also
so hard.
It's also like I didn't go into enough detail to figure out exactly how they pulled it off. I saw all the stuff that like problems with the like most of them aren't even students and stuff. I saw all that.
Yeah, they're not even student age, but still, the other team was like five times their size, just right over them. It was funny.
But it's like, I don't think ESPN's the ones that should be embarrassed by this. It should be the other team that agreed to play them.
I don't know. I just think it's embarrassing for everybody involved. It just makes me laugh.
It feels, I can't believe it's been, hasn't been done before now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I feel bad that I wasn't the guy who came up with this and that we didn't do it. I'm just crap. I could have played it on ESPN for a football game.
That's a good point. Yeah, and now it's time for me to start working. How do I get my softball team to play against Florida State on ESPN like we're a legit JUCO college?
Yeah, that's what you got to work on.
So that's what I'll figure that one out.
So but we got a lot to talk about.
I mean, a good loss by the Orioles today.
Yeah, I was talking about PlayStations, but sure. Yeah, good loss by the Orioles.
I forgot about the PlayStation.
We'll get to that later. It's been a really fun week for the Baltimore Orioles winning the series. It was the last four or five games, Josh, has been decided by one run. Going back to even before the Yankee series, Toronto, we won 4-2, and then it was a one-run loss, then a one-run loss to the Yankees, then we won two games against the Yankees by one run, hurting their playoff chances, which is a beautiful thing, and then we lost by one run, so they're close games.
Yeah, and it's the type of thing where I'm not really caring about, who cares about win or loss right now, but the individual players, it's nice to see pitching do well, as well as Mullins and Hayes and Mountcastle, guys who are really stepping up that are part of this team in the future.
Yeah, and when we were involved in that, you know, that little losing streak that we were involved in, a lot of the comments were connected to we weren't just losing, we were getting blown out.
Right.
And it's true, we're getting blown out week in and week out, game in and game out. And that's no longer the case. So for the past week and plus, we've been playing competitive baseball and winning some games. And I was super into that Yankee series. I didn't watch every pitch from that series, but I watched more baseball in that series than I watched probably the 2 weeks prior to that. Because it's fun to play spoiler, and like they were good games throughout. It wasn't like, let's turn off in the third inning. Like they were good games throughout. Even the one game that we came back and won, it was like, I'm going to turn this game off. But then we came right back and it's been a fun week again to be an Orioles fan.
Yeah, and it's always fun, like I was saying, to see the young guys. So Zach Lothar today getting the start and going six innings, one run, three hits. I mean, that's exciting, and that gives me hope with a rotation that I don't have any hope in.
Yeah, it doesn't give me any hope. Hans Arberto hit about the hardest ball you've ever seen hit in your life. But here's a question I have for you, Josh. I saw, I think it was Eric RDT on Twitter, friend of the show, tweeted this out. And I want to throw this out to you. He said, I forget what he said, but it was, my paraphrase is, he's like, he loves this 2021 team. Josh, how do you feel? Like, how are we going to look back upon, have you grown attached to this 2021 team? Are they a bunch of lovable losers?
No.
You know, going to lose 110 games, but they're kind of fun and you root for them? Or are these all, I see some people put out lineup projections.
Yeah.
and some of them include Cedric Mullins and no other current Orioles. Is this going to be a forgettable season, or is this one where you kind of are you starting to like this team?
This is one I'm not going to say, I have a soft spot for the 2021 Orioles, because I don't, I won't, I never will. But this isn't like the 14 years of losing where it was just random guys every year and bring in free agents and they still lose. The fact of what I do like about this team is guys like Cedric Mullins, Mancini, Mountcastle, Austin Hayes, guys who are going to – this isn't their last year here. They're going to be here next year. So I'm not going to say I love the 2021 Orioles and this team's special, but – if you think back to like 2012, that 2011 team was bad, and it had a lot of the people who then carried into 2012 came back, like Markakis, Davis, and guys. So I don't love this team, but there's some guys like Mullins who I think you tweeted, you was it a text you sent earlier today about Mullins or a tweet about how just his bounce back this year has been amazing?
It wasn't me. But, yeah, it has been amazing.
That wasn't you?
No, I think that was Dad. But, yeah, being part of me, the 26 home run, but being part, you know, the 25-25 club, which is a cool number, as now he chases the 30-for-30 club, see if he can do it. He's running out of time here. But yeah, I mean, I think my thoughts are I like this team. I like this team. I didn't like the team 2 months ago. Like, I felt like it's taken all season to get to this season. To get to this team with Jemiah Jones, not Pat Valaika, with Urias, not Franco, right? You know what I'm saying? With Mateo, who's a really fun player. Like, the team right now, I enjoy. I did not enjoy this team 2 months ago.
Okay. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but there's still issues with this team, and there's still guys on this team I don't like. There's no way I'd be comfortable with sending this same lineup out next year.
Yeah, but even the pitching, I like Jorge Lopez in the bullpen. I like Salsa in the bullpen.
Yeah.
I like Tyler the Wells. What a special kid that is. He pitched guys first save there against the Yankees, the heart of the lineup against the Yankees. That's been a great story. I think he's going to be part of next year's team. Very curious to see what they do with him. Do they continue to have him be a bullpen guy, or do they transition him as or go back to what he was before starting pitcher? Curious if they do Tyler Wells. You're right, Josh. This is not a team that's going to go out and win the World Series. But I think the team as constructed now is just a lot more fun to watch than Pat Valaika and some of the other guys going through here.
But that's also like, is it because we're in September and now it's like, hey, here's some guys who kind of played their way up, made some moves and adjusted to the crap where we figured things out. We figured out that Stewart's not going to be a everyday guy. We figured out, I guess, Mateo just by luck ended up on this team.
Yeah, we DFA'd Mikel Franco. Right. And so now we don't have watched him at third base, which is great. Yeah, Valaika, I think, played his way off the team. We went through this kind of revolving door second base. Jemiah Jones might not be the answer second base, but at least he's a kind of a young player who you can get excited about.
I think what changed with this team is we got rid of the dead weight.
Yeah.
Where now it's like, even if you're not excited about this guy, he's a young guy that has opportunities to prove something.
Yeah. And they're just, they're athletic, they're exciting. I mean, Mateo, I can't say enough about Mateo, too. He had a great at-bat against the Yankees. Not just the speed, though I wish he would steal more. It's like, I don't know why he doesn't steal every time he touches the first base. But he just has good at-bats, he plays good defense. I'm shaking my head. The Padres over there fighting for a playoff spot. He seems like the perfect guy to have on your bench with the speed and the defense and all that stuff. But whatever, their loss is our gain. But, yeah, you mentioned the emergency Cedric Mullins, which makes you think of Mateo too. Like, some of the stuff with baseball is just kind of a guessing game, and hitters hit at different moments, right? They peak at different moments, and no one saw this come with Cedric Mullins. And Mateo was a highly ranked guy, so maybe he's finally just kind of living up to his potential because – just baseball is weird sometimes where players click at different points in their career.
What?
And we talk a lot on here about players who click once they leave the Orioles.
Yes.
But
we're used to that.
Yeah, and so it's almost shocking that Cedric Mullins is not in like a Mets uniform or something, right? That we didn't trade him for someone or we didn't DFA him. Like, it's kind of amazing that Cedric Mullins has had his reemergence actually with the Orioles.
Yeah.
So it's a great story. We hope, you know, similar things for Mateo. But Josh, I think there's a lot of guys on this line in this lineup and on this roster offensively who, you know, are fighting right now for spots next year. And I think actually this could be a fairly similar lineup offensively to what we see next year. I mean, the Yankees have a great rotation and have had great pitching this year. And we just took them to the woodshed with our bats. And then you think about this offense and you just make one small replacement, Josh, you just kind of scoot out Pedro Severino, one of our worst bats
and gloves bring in
the lineup, and bring in one of the best bats and gloves in the lineup, and all of a sudden, that makes your offense all that much better without making any signings, right? But just bringing up Adley and replacing Severino. And right. So,
I mean, yeah, if you can replace Severino with Adley, and then you need a solution at second base.
Yeah, if you feel like Jarrett Jones isn't the answer, yeah.
Or who's the other guy, Gurez or whatever that we've got playing there now?
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Gutierrez, yeah. He's not the answer.
Yeah.
He's the answer as much as Lebia is the answer. He's not the answer. No, but the cool thing I think about infield, Josh, is you could say second base is a question mark. You could just say any infield spot, right? Because
first base.
Urias, yeah, but I'm saying Urias can play second base. He can play short. He can play third base. If you sign a third baseman, right? Which maybe might be easier to find, a big hit third baseman. You can just switch your eyes to second. And so I think we need to sign one middle infielder. And what else, Josh?
The pitching. It's all pitching.
Yeah, I mean, just dump all your money in pitching. And this is what Elias kind of set himself up for this too. Maybe a little earlier than he thought, but drafting at the top of the rounds only, you know, hitters. We got a bunch of hitters. I mean, our recent draft class is playing in Delmarva now. Just look at their box scores. I mean, those guys put up 8 runs a game. We got a powerhouse that's coming through the minors, but they're all offensively. Elias, free agency, if you want to make a move here, thankfully, I think this is good. You can just focus on pitchers. I think we'll be okay. Maybe sign one guy offensively, a second baseman or third baseman, and put the rest of the money into that pitching staff.
Then I hope that's what they do. I mean, I hope that they start working on. I hope that 2021 was the start of let's fix things, and now they're starting to tune things this last month of the year to get ready for next year and bring in some pitching and start to play somewhat competitive next year. Because rebuilds suck; they're no fun. It's no fun to watch a team that loses all the time. You bring young guys in, it's more exciting, but it's not the type of thing that's going to add excitement into next year. This needs to be a flow into give us some stuff this offseason to be excited about going into the season.
Yeah, and I don't know where Elias is thinking right now, Josh, because I could make an argument, like I just said about offensively, we're almost ready, bringing Adley Rutschman. Right. You also have... Grayson Rodriguez, he's still at Bowie, but it's not fair. He's just dominating at Bowie. He could be an effective major league pitcher whenever you want him to, whenever you want to make that call. We also have Michael Bauman pitching really well at AAA. So you could make all these arguments to say, okay, like we're close, right? We're close to kind of starting to get over that hump. On the other hand, you could look at this team and say, we lost 110 games, however many we lose this year.
All right.
Why would I invest free agents to make us, you know, are we going to improve by 50? How many games? Why would I do it this year? Let's see how we can be competitive once we bring up Bauman, once we bring up Adley. Let's see how competitive we get. And if we get closer, like let's say we only lose 90 games, then I can start investing in the future.
Right. But you're also, at the same time, they're very clear on this rebuild is not to rebuild to win one championship.
Right.
It's to rebuild the farm system so that you constantly have players coming up, which means there's no mark on when these 5 guys hit, that's when we flip the switch and we're on. Because the idea is let's start to win games and let's bring people up as needed. Adley's going to be the first. Then, hey, we need pitching. Here's some pitching that we've got. when it's time, here's a hot infielder that we think can make it in the majors, and just bring people up as needed. And that means there is no magical switch or date. And I think there's enough frustration that you don't want to rush the process, but you've got the lowest payroll in baseball this year. You can spend a little bit of money to see if you can make it fun.
Yeah, I agree, Josh. And I'm not saying that the Orioles should base all the decisions off what I do in MLB The Show, but what I do in MLB The Show, a year like this coming off season, is I do the opposite of deferral. I front load the contract. You know, I click that button, front load.
Right.
Because then you're paying them this season when you're not paying anybody else. And I think the advantage of signing someone this year this offseason to a 3 to 5 year deal, right, is you're right. You're not paying. Adley Rutschman's making no money, right? A lot of these stars that you're going to have in your team, even Cedric Mullins, right, making no to very little money. In 3 years, or even 2 years, you're going to start paying these guys more and more money. Once you get these arbitration years, you're going to be paying them more and more money, and then all of a sudden it's going to be maybe a little bit harder maybe to pull the purse strings and to make a big signing. And so it seems like now is the time to do it, as opposed to waiting till these other guys cost more.
Yeah, now's when you can make the long-term deal and still get away with, hey, we're a small market team.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to do like a 5-year deal. I'm not talking about a 10-year deal.
No. I'm
just saying like a 5-year deal.
4 or 5 years. Exactly.
For Carlos Correa. Let's make that happen.
Well, no, I mean for pitching.
Oh, I want Carlos Correa. Pitching. That's my number one guy this offseason.
Carlos Correa? Really? Yeah. How does he make this team better?
Well, he goes right in, becomes an all-star shortstop. Right. And then you move Mateo to second or Urias, whatever you want. And then the other guy to third, and you're set there. You don't have to worry about shortstop for a while. I think it's a beautiful place to be. And then you can throw for your pitching.
All right. I hear that, and that then buys more time for the younger.
We don't want to keep people talking about Westberg and Gunnar Henderson.
Exactly.
When I see people put, I saw someone the other day projected lineup and had Kobe Mayo in it.
Next year.
No. Just like future Orioles lineup.
Oh, that's like 6 years from now.
Yeah, but I don't want to wait till that. I mean, he's like 18. No. Like, I'm not waiting. I don't want to think about what the Orioles lineup's going to be in 5 years. Like, that doesn't get me. No. Like, it was supposed to be like let's get pumped up. Here's going to be a lineup of the future. Kobe Mayo at third base. What are we talking about? 2028? Like, get out of here. Get out of here. That doesn't pump me up. That makes me depressed. I want something, you know, now. I want something last year.
Right. I agreed. And I feel like the Orioles, I think the Orioles PR team also has to be going, and the rest of the front office and sales and ticket center and all, they've got to also be pressuring Elias to be like, you got to give us something we can sell. We want right now. If you can sign up and get free Oriole tickets to go to an Oriole game, you get 2 free tickets.
Yeah.
And parking and like 20% off concessions. Yeah. Have you seen that sign up?
No.
That's the state of the Orioles right now. You can sign up for a trial of the Birdland membership, which is their season tickets. And what the trial consists of is 2 tickets for a game where you then get all the free tickets and then all of the perks as if you were Birdland members.
Right. And that's fine, Josh. And I'm going to the game tomorrow, so you don't have to sell me, Michael Elias. I'm already there.
I know. Well, they're not selling it to you and I.
But, Josh, I don't think... Again, I mean, we'll go back to what do you want to sign? Sammy Sosa? Is that who you want to sign?
No.
The answer, Josh, though, is not making a freaking splash in free agency just to get fans excited. The answer is winning more baseball games.
Yes.
Right? And so what can you do to win more baseball games? And I think signing Carlos Correa puts you in that direction. Certainly doesn't solve the problem where we don't know who's going to start. We have TBD now, I think, for the next month. We just have TBD now as who our starting pitcher is for next month. It doesn't help you there, right? We need to address that. But I also think you shouldn't sign players because fans aren't going to care. Fans are not going to care who you sign. They're only going to care how many games you win.
All right. Here's some free agent starting pitchers this season.
Already going here. Okay. Let's start the offseason early.
which of these guys would you want? Dylan Bundy? Zach Davies, Kevin Gausman,
yes,
Zach Greinke, Clayton Kershaw, Corey Kluber, James Paxton, Robbie Ray, Eduardo Rodriguez, Carlos Rodon, Max Scherzer, Marcus Stroman, Noah Syndergaard, Justin Verlander, Adam Wainwright, and I left out Trevor Bauer because who knows his case, and Johnny Cueto because it's a club option.
Yeah. Cueto. Yeah, I don't see us making a push at Trevor Bauer, Josh.
No, I wanted that last year. Remember, I was pushing for it last year.
Yeah, what a disaster that would have been. Yeah, can you imagine if we signed him like a 10-year deal?
Exactly.
After the Chris Davis thing and then now Trevor Bauer, who might not ever play baseball again.
Right.
What a disaster that would
But have been. None of those guys strike me as long-term guys.
A lot of those guys are veteran, older guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
Who won't be looking to come to Camden Yards for a year.
Right, and you're looking at maybe a 3-year max with those guys.
Yeah, and you'll have to overpay them to get them to come to a losing team and play in the AL
East. AL East. Yep.
Yep. I mean, it's not easy to sign pitchers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, the idea of Kevin Gausman coming back, you know, excites the heck out of me. But again, that's going to be a tough sell. How are you going to say, okay, Kevin Gausman, you sucked when you were here. Not sucked, but you were average when you were here. You had your best years when you left. Here, let's come back to your average years. Like, it's a tough sell.
Right,
so, and with any pitcher, it's going to be a tough sell to sign pitchers.
Yeah. So, Scherzer's the guy I'd pick on that list for a 3-year deal.
Okay. How old is Scherzer? He's like 38.
He's old. He's old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he's not going to come to Baltimore.
Keith is in the Keith is in the chat already giving excuses for attendance about COVID. And though I'll accept that maybe COVID is hurting attendance this year, it reminds me awfully lot of people saying, oh, well, it's school nights and I'm afraid to go to Baltimore.
The squeegee boys.
Exactly. Exactly.
The excuses in the
that we've heard for 15 years.
Yeah, school nights is a great one.
It's Baltimore's
too hot,
not safe.
It's too cold.
Riots.
The summer. Yeah, I mean, we've been sitting here. I mean, every excuse that could have been made, and now COVID is another excuse. And
light rail.
The light rail hours. But at all these, like, I'm sure there's some dude out there, right? I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are not going because of COVID. I'm sure there's people not going because of light rail. I'm sure people are not going because they don't feel safe. Like, I think all those things are legit things. But if we win 100 games,
you'll be there.
All of a sudden, there's people will show up.
M&T Bank Stadium is packed every Sunday with less people. And even for
football fans are less intelligent, but still.
Right. Even for Sunday night football, when it's dark outside, they still go to Baltimore for football.
Yeah.
And you know what? It probably will be packed with even with COVID issues.
What, the football game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stadium's gonna be sold out.
And Keith's right to the point that I think baseball does skew older, right? Like there's more. You're more likely to see several people in their 70s, 80s.
That's a good point. How many baseball fans died this year of COVID? I bet more baseball fans died of COVID than like hockey fans.
Oh, it's no doubt. And this is something that baseball has been struggling with, this movement to stay younger and stay relevant. Because, baseball is an aging population.
It's a dying sport.
Well, I don't know, but at the same time,
but that's the argument.
Yeah, at the same time, and this, I mean, in a lot of respects, can we just like step back for a second and say this has been a really great year for baseball in a lot of ways?
Oh, yeah,
it's been some unfortunate things, like you made me think of when you talk about that window to win, like the Royals did several years ago when you know they beat us in the playoffs, where they had this clear window to win. And that was it. 2 years or whatever it was when all these guys
had to do it.
Yep. And then they had to start trading off the pieces. Yeah. And we saw the same thing with the Cubs, surprisingly, because shame on the Cubs. They're a big market. They shouldn't need to do this, but they sold off after their window left. And
so did the Nationals.
Rizzo and the Nats, too, right? They kind of lost their window, and now they're tanking again. And this is, I feel like this is what's wrong with baseball. Not the Orioles. I feel like trying to win for 3 years, tanking, and then trying to win for the reason. And the goal should be to be consistently successful.
Right. So baseball will be okay because the Yankees are rebuilding their dynasty.
Yeah. But with all that said, despite this nonsense happening, there's been a lot of amazing things that's happened this year. Shohei Ohtani, number one, right? Just ask ESPN. But you also have the emergence of kind of these great young players like Fernando Tatis, like Vlad Guerrero Jr., just having amazing years. I think it's great for the sport of baseball.
I think
just a lot of diversity, right? And those three players, just a lot of diversity too about, you know, these emerging stars.
Yeah. And it feels like some of the balance with pitching, offense and defenses came back.
Yeah. We're not talking about a no hitter every other game like we were at the beginning of the season.
It's kind of balanced out.
Yeah. It might have killed Paul Fry, but right, it's balanced out, right? RIP Paul Fry. Paul Fry can talk about the sticky ball and talk about Chris Davis.
Him and Davis can get together.
And they can have like some kind of group to talk about their feelings on how baseball killed them.
Right, right.
Changing rules killed their careers.
And baseball, we saw baseball do some like correct marketing stuff this year that baseball always screws up. Like the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby, they got right.
That was great. Yeah.
The Field of Dreams game was awesome.
That was great.
Baseball never gets this stuff right. We normally talk about how baseball missed their opportunities with these things, and they nailed them all this year.
Yeah, and I'm kind of hooked, Josh, to be honest, on some of these races, because usually I don't care if the Orioles are out of the playoffs, but right now the Yankees and the Red Sox are in the two wild card spots, which makes me laugh. Always makes me laugh that Tampa Bay paying their players, you know, $20 million, whatever, are in first, and the Yankees and the Red Sox are
what gives me hope
in the wild card. Yeah, it does. But like, I'm watching it hard because the Yankees, thanks to the Orioles, you know, kind of step back a little bit, come back to the pack a little bit, and Boston's been struggling too. And here comes Seattle playing really well, and Toronto's been playing well all season. And I'm just watching. I'm just hoping with all that's in me to watch the Yankees and Boston somehow miss the playoffs. And so I'm into it. I'm into playing spoiler. I'd rather have Toronto there, to be honest, than the Yankees or Boston. So when we play the Toronto, I think in the next series, it makes me look conflicted. Who do I root for? Right. But I'm really rooting for the Yankees and Boston to lose. So I think this is like good playoff races, and I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers, Giants going back and forth with first place over there, that's pretty cool too and exciting for them.
Yeah, and a good walk-off race there too. Yep.
Yeah, and I'll always root for the Dodgers to lose because I don't root for high payrolls.
Yep.
But it's cool to see just like a tight division. I feel like we've always had so many blowout divisions.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Even the NL East, which they're all terrible teams.
Yeah, that's been a trash division for years.
And I find myself rooting for the Mets, actually, even though New York, I find myself rooting for the Mets just because so many people have trashed them all year and made fun of them all year. I think it'd be hilarious if they made the playoffs. So I'm rooting for them to win that division.
You know, everyone talks about how the Orioles, there was a big push for like 2 weeks about how the Orioles are what's wrong with baseball. And you're right, the Orioles are not what's wrong with baseball. The Nationals are a better example of what's wrong with baseball.
And the Cubs.
And the Cubs. The teams like that went all in, got their moment, and now they're trash two years later.
And trade everybody away.
Right.
Right? Trade everybody away. When they have the money to re-sign guys and quickly rebuild...
But what they did is they got the trophy so they could sell all that. They could then market their team as the world champions, sell all the gear, sell season tickets out for the next couple of years and all this, and then save money on your roster.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of reinvesting all that money to re-sign all these players. I agree. And they don't have the whole history with the Orioles where we don't have to get into this, but how we didn't participate in international signings. We didn't participate in any of the analytics. And so Michael Elias had to come in and build all those things from freaking scratch. And I'm sorry, I don't want to get on soapbox here, but reporters and everyone involved in baseball should be praising the Orioles for getting with the times, for coming to the 21st century, not criticizing them for now not being that competitive. When we are trying to work for, we've been, you know, organizationally backwards for so many years, we're finally getting caught up with everybody. And now we're being criticized. It's all just nonsense.
Yeah, it's a lot of old arguments that didn't make sense years ago, still don't make sense now. But I'm all for the Nationals moving to Nashville. The Nashville Nationals has a good sound.
Yeah, you should write a blog about that.
Exactly. Except it's not about the Orioles, so it won't get picked up by 500 people.
Yeah, that's true. Let me see other stuff here. Oh, did you? I don't know if you want to get here, Josh. I don't know if you want to shift gears completely here. I'm just looking at my notes here. We do have the Ravens' first game that's coming.
Yeah, next week. Yeah, it's we got to shift next week's schedule for the podcast because we play on Monday night.
Right, right. So we won't do the podcast Monday night.
Yeah, so we'll go with either Sunday or Tuesday. We'll figure it out.
I'd rather do it Tuesday. Yeah.
Let's do it Tuesday so we can talk about that Ravens game.
Talk about the game.
Yeah.
Quick thoughts on the Ravens season. Also, tangentially, will you be – I heard they're having open tryouts for a running back. Will you be attending the open tryouts for a running back?
No, I like my ACLs.
Okay.
So I'd rather not tear one. Okay. So, yeah, we're having – what, they're having Bell and Devontae Freeman come in to try out, which means – what's his name? That was here in June. Todd Gurley must be completely washed up.
Yeah, oh yeah, or maybe couldn't pass the medicals or something. Yeah.
Something, yeah. I hope Gus Edwards' ACL stays together this year.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets hurt, whatever. ACL right. or something else, he gets hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, we literally only have one other running back. What interests me is I'm pumped about this football season. I'm pumped to have a team.
You too.
That's supposed to do well in the Ravens.
And I'm excited to start the season in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I think
that's cool.
And then we go to the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Two amazing games to start the season off. So that's going to be awesome. But I'm curious, there's this kind of adage that I don't know how true it is, that running backs are replaceable, right?
Yes, I definitely have mentioned that.
That you could just roll through these guys and get similar production, especially with an offense like the Ravens. Well, let's put that to the test this year, right? Let's put this test. Because I think I would be shocked if – not shocked. I'd be surprised if we go with Freeman or Bell.
Right.
My last memory of Le'Veon Bell, besides being terrible with the Jets, even with the Steelers, was the dude just like to dance around 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like the Ravens' kind of offense.
No, I think he averaged 3 yards a carry.
Yeah, I mean, he did. Like, peak Le'Veon Bell – was great, but even then, I don't know if the running style matches the Ravens, and now he's got a ton of tread on the tires. But no. We'll find out. We'll find out how important, Kirsty, how important is the running back position?
We will, and we'll see how much is that just, system mentality. Because I don't know, because part of me says just let that Huntley kid run the ball. He's fast. Teach him how to talk and go.
If you want to be running quarterback, your backup, especially.
Then we can get some not bad for a quarterback shirts going.
Yeah. I mean, it also might mean more designed runs for Lamar Jackson. I don't know. I also don't know what's going to do it. Like, I feel like the coaching staff with the Ravens go through these little things where they're like, we want to protect Lamar. We're going to have him pass more. We're going to less run. And then they're
we want to win. He's the best player.
But like, at some point, we're like, we want to win, so let's just keep the ball in his hands. Right?
Yeah. That's what you got to do. That's like telling your ace to not throw the fastball, to not throw as hard as he can.
To not throw his cutter.
Right, exactly.
To use some Oriole. Throw Oriole examples. Don't throw your cutter.
Yep.
It's true, and it might it might prolong your career. It might prolong Lamar Jackson's career, but it also takes away what helps us win football games. What's special about him? But Josh, so what do you think about the season? Like, are you Super Bowl or bust with this team? Are you let's just see how it goes? What are your expectations for this Ravens team this year?
I was Super Bowl or bust probably with Dobbins. Without Dobbins and without anyone to throw the ball to, I know we just extended Mark Andrews. That's great. That also keeps that window open a little longer for the Super Bowl opportunity.
I just had to block people on Twitter about that.
Okay.
People are saying he's overpaid or these things.
Doesn't he get more receptions than anyone else on the team?
Yeah, that whole notion of overpaid is weird.
There's depends no on your team, people.
Your salary. Like, it's whatever. Yeah. There's so many factors that go into overpaid.
Right.
It's a dumb comment, so I blocked
it. And it's football. No contracts are analyzed as much as football contracts.
Yeah. I mean, if freaking, who's the the guy on Twitter does the Raven salary cap. What's it? Whatever his name, Brian McFarland. Is that the guy? McFarland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if he said Mark Jones overpaid, okay, I believe it. But just right. some Yahoo that has RG3 as his profile pick.
Yeah, exactly. No, but guess what? Maybe you have to overpay Andrews because you need someone that Lamar can throw the ball to and count on it.
Who's going to stay healthy? Yeah. So,
yeah.
No, what were your expectations? Sorry, did I miss it? You just said you're not Super Bowl or bust anymore because J.K. Dobbins is not here.
But I think the bottom of this team, worst case, is still 9 wins. This is a playoff team that has an opportunity to win it all. Anything below 9 wins is going to be a big disappointment. 9 wins is the bottom of the barrel.
Right. And that's with the new expanded schedule.
Pretty yeah.
17 games.
Games, right. So to go 9-8 and be a .500 team, that's no good.
That'd be a disappointment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a disappointment. So this has to be a playoff team. And it's football. You get to the playoffs, you have a chance anytime. But yeah, I'm just excited football's back. The preseason did not get me excited. Now that the game is coming,
J.K. Dobbins going out for the year in the final preseason game, it didn't get you pumped up for Ravens football?
No. For some reason, it did not.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think there's a bit of little stress here in the sense that I feel like Lamar Jackson's contract is almost like a ticking time bomb, right? Where once he gets his big deal, teams deal with this all the time in the NFL.
Yeah.
You get guys, especially quarterbacks, on their rookie deal, and you can do a lot of stuff in other positions. All of a sudden, you got to pay the quarterback, and you invest less money in these other positions. And I feel like a little bit of ticking time bomb where I want to win before we give Lamar Jackson all this money
right.
and hurts us in other areas. So I do feel like we need to win. I also feel like the biggest obstacle, like for me, anything less than the AFC Championship game would be a disappointment. I expect to be in the AFC Championship game playing Kansas City.
Exactly. It's us and the Chiefs.
Yeah. And then the Chiefs are good. And Patrick Mahomes is young. So it's not like part of me is like, okay, with the Yankees, they're aging. You just kind of wait the Yankees out. They're overpaying guys who are older.
Mahomes like, will always be there.
Yeah, Mahomes is going to be there as long as Lamar Jackson is going to be with the Ravens.
Right.
And so you're always going to deal with that. And I'm not confident with our ability to get by the Chiefs. The Bucks provided this blueprint last year in the Super Bowl.
And that's what makes week two exciting, that we get to Chiefs really early. There's no wait and see.
And I'm not betting on the Ravens in that game. I have no confidence in our ability to beat the Chiefs. I don't.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of our bugaboo that we need to overcome.
I don't know. You know, I haven't purchased the Sunday ticket yet.
Okay.
Because I was looking, and 4 out of the first 5 Raven games are primetime games.
Oh, wow.
So they're not part of the ticket. So I'm like, if I can just figure out a way to watch the Lions game, then I could sign up for the NFL ticket on like week whatever, 6, and probably get it discounted.
Yeah. I'm planning on just doing – I don't do cable either, so I'm planning on just doing the CBS.
Yeah, because you're local, so you'll be able to get the Raven games on CBS.
Yeah, if I stream CBS.
Yeah.
And they do it by the month or whatever, so I'll just do it.
You know, for Oh, because my YouTube TV is not working for you?
Yeah, no, it's. I kept on saying I was in vacation in Maryland, but then it said you can't be on vacation anymore in Maryland. You got to go back to Jacksonville.
Gotcha. So
back to my location there. I'm sure there's something you can get direct to trick the location.
But, probably so, yeah.
Just a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, so.
But all right. You want to get to some Ball 4 and PlayStation updates?
Sure, let's get to some Ball 4. I'll start with the PlayStation update. I'm told I am picking it up in the morning.
You're picking it up? This should have happened a long time ago. Forget him dropping it off. You need to go drive somewhere.
I'm told I'm picking it up from his house in the morning.
Oh, his house.
He says he will text me in the morning when he has it because they shut down for the weekend without him not knowing they were going to be shut down for the weekend.
Okay. This is the pallet, not the brother-in-law.
Yeah, I mean, this is pallet number 2.
Pallet number 2,
Pallet number 2.
Okay, this is the first time, though.
I don't know if we've ever mentioned that I'm buying a whole pallet of PlayStations, but yes, this is the pallet of PlayStations.
But this is the first time where he said for you to go somewhere, right? Even if it's just across the street. No,
this is the same type of stuff, okay. I think.
All right, I thought maybe this was a promotion.
Let me know in the morning. He said he would not come on the podcast and defend himself.
That's a smart move. That's a smart move. If I was him, I would not either.
So
anyway, he has all his text messages to defend himself, so we have access to that.
Yeah. No, I told him that if he doesn't get it sorted out, I need my money back. So I said, if it's not happening in the next 3 days, I don't believe you. It's never going to happen. Just give me the money back. All right. We're at that point. So we'll see.
All right. We're at that point, it should have been there six months ago, but yeah, we're at that point now.
Because it's much better for me to get the units and flip them.
Even now, you got them. It's fine. Yeah. You can still flip them. Yeah.
But, good thing is it's still impossible to get a PlayStation at the store. So I'm still okay.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, next time you're up here, Josh, I'll let you borrow mine. Play it when you're over here at my house for a little bit.
But, you got any balls this week?
Well, I got one ball, Josh. I had quite the eventful day today. Can I just tell you real quick what happened?
All right.
Today was Labor Day. I had the day off. Emily worked, so I had the kids.
All right. That means you're going on an adventure.
We're going somewhere. And I was all set to, you know, our usual off day adventure involves finding some lighthouses because that's where we're into right now. And so that was my plan. But then Emily got home and said, today, Matt, is the last day for the Maryland State Fair. And the kids,
That sounds horrible.
Fine. I'll go to the Maryland State Fair. I've never been before. I've never been to Maryland State Fair.
The only thing worse you could say is the medieval convention thing. What's that?
The Renaissance Festival?
Renaissance Festival. Yeah. That's the only thing worse. Yeah, don't take your kids to that.
But anyway, you know, usually our balls are recommendations. I'm not recommending the Maryland Festival.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, I never got in. So we drove over there.
All right.
Drove all the way to Ammonium.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Silas had to tell us to Emily. I didn't tell his story to Emily because Emily she wouldn't appreciate it. In fact, she would think this is a flaw in me as a father. I have an issue, Josh, but sometimes I don't plan things out very well. I just kind of spur them up and go.
Right.
And ignore issues that could turn into later into bigger issues.
Yeah. Like purchasing parking or tickets.
Yeah. Or like if my check engine light comes on, I'm the type of guy who ignores the check engine light until the car breaks down. For a year, Josh, I've had a light come on every time I start my car that says change the battery in my key or something.
Right.
I haven't changed it yet. Not going to until it stops working.
Okay. That'll be fun.
Yeah. So I was. So we got to the Timonium Fairgrounds for the Maryland Festival. I pull up and there's parking. It's $10. I said, all right.
You didn't have any cash.
They said, oh, cash only. I said, all I have is a credit card. They said, you can go up to the ATM. Right there at Shell. You know, just right up the street. All right, I'll go to Shell. Mm-hmm. I went to Shell. Josh, I don't have an ATM card. I just have a credit card. I put my credit card in, and they want a PIN number.
Yeah.
I don't know my PIN number. I put in a couple numbers that I thought could be my PIN.
Hold on. Back up. You don't have a debit card?
I don't have a debit. I lost. Oh, yeah. This is going back to I don't handle problems when they have. About 6 months ago, I lost my debit card and one of my credit cards. Never found them. Never called and reported them lost. I've been paying attention to my account, so I know no one's kind of been using it.
Just use your credit card and then pay off your credit card?
Yeah, that's all I have is one credit card, and I would just always pay it off every month.
Because you don't feel like getting a new debit card.
I just never called. I tried to do it online, and they said you have to call. I said, I'm not doing that.
All right.
So anyway, I don't know my PIN number. And then I call Capital One, and they won't give me my PIN number either.
They're going to mail you a sheet of paper.
What is it, 1997? They're going to mail it to me? Email it to me. They won't. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go to the Capital One Bank. I'll go in person. I don't care. There's a bank that's 30 minutes away in Reisterstown. So I drive to Reisterstown.
But you have a credit card. You can't get money out.
But no, they have my account. Josh, it's Capital One. It's the bank. I can't get money from the bank for my account. I have a savings account in Capital One. I can't go in there and get money out?
Maybe if you have your license, maybe.
But
wasn't today a bank holiday?
Yeah, it's Labor Day. You can't go to the bank. I found that out. It's closed. So I went there. It's closed. Oh, and meanwhile, I'm in Reisterstown, right?
Yeah.
And I got the two kids. Silas all of a sudden has to pee, right? So he said, okay, let's go in Giant.
Yeah.
They won't let me in. I don't have a mask, and my kids don't have masks. And I guess, is Reisterstown Baltimore County? I don't know.
I think it's Baltimore County.
Anyway, they have mask mandates everywhere. You can't go into any stores.
Really?
And they have like a guard there. They wouldn't let me in. I said, the bathroom's right there. Let me use the bathroom. They won't let me use the bathroom.
I saw a photo of you and your kids today, and they were wearing masks outside, which I thought was weird.
That was weird. I know. We had to. Well, I don't think we actually had to wear them outside. We just had emerged from the ship, from the battleship, and so they still had them on. But anyway, so that happened. Okay. And so now I'm in my car. I pee on the side of the road. I don't know, whatever. And now I'm in my car looking for other lighthouses or something nearby, Reisterstown, that we can go to because we can't go to Fraggles anymore.
Okay.
And while I'm doing this, Silas and Faye are in the back. And Josh, this is brings back memories. Silas has his head out the window, just having a good old time. Faye winds up the window. Silas' head gets stuck. His head out the window, it gets stuck. Faye is still kind of pulling it up. Silas is screaming before I can, finagle which right. button to hit. Pull it down. There's a big solid line right up below Silas's eyeball where the window is going.
Oh, well, that's better than his neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Could've cut out some hair on his neck.
Yep. So, yeah, right. You're right. It could have been worse. But he's a mess.
Silas, Faye beats him up, doesn't she?
Yeah, I know. It's really an abusive relationship where we should seek help about it. And then, so after all that, we said, okay, let's just go to Baltimore. There's a lighthouse you've been wanting to see in Baltimore, right downtown. So we went and saw that. We went on a couple ships in downtown Baltimore. They got the historic ships, historic submarine and stuff. So we went and checked that out. Kids were free, which is nice. I had to pay, but the kids were free, which is nice. Went in CVS and got masks so we could go inside the ship. They wanted us inside the ship without masks, so I had to walk over to CVS, get some masks. Thankfully, they had a 2-for-1 deal.
I don't remember the last time I wore a mask in Florida.
Yeah, and I mean, I wear a mask to work every day for teaching, but I never wear it outside of school.
You wear masks in school?
Oh, everyone has to.
Oh.
It's mandated across Maryland. Yeah, all Maryland schools.
All right. I guess that makes sense. Not here. But yes,
yeah, I know so. Not there. I know not there.
Sorry. Last time I wore a mask was when I came back to Maryland.
Yeah. Well, you'll be wearing them again when you come back here in October. All right. Anyway, so that's the Baltimore thing was nice, but cash. I thought Josh, this is 2021. This is the Maryland, fair or whatever, state fair. How do you not have a credit card in COVID age? I thought that was a thing, too.
I assume they would have a credit card thing.
Yeah.
Like one of the little machines like the Chick-fil-A drive-through person uses.
Yeah,
that's just like attached to an iPad.
My wife, Josh, you wouldn't understand how sometimes you don't see eye to eye with your wife. You don't really understand this, but
pretty much, we're always on the same page.
Yeah, you wouldn't understand that, but Emily has they can't comprehend why I would lose the debit card months ago and not get it replaced. I say Emily, this is teaching kids to be flexible, have an adventure, But Emily doesn't see it that way. She sees it as unprepared and poor parenting. But just to each their own, I say.
Well, I'm glad you and Emily are getting along.
That's my ball 2 and ball 3.
Okay. I took Emma and on Saturday night, Emma and I went out to the movies and saw the new Marvel movie, Shang-Chi, I think is what it's called.
I'd never heard of it. Okay.
In the Ten Rings, and had a good time at the movie theater. My first time, really in the movie theater. No, I saw it. First time in a packed movie theater in a while. So it was a sold-out show.
How many people were in masks in that movie theater, Josh?
Maybe two. Maybe two people.
Like 100?
Yeah, out of a full theater.
How many people do you think in the theater were vaccinated? What percentage?
Me and Emma.
if it's anything like Florida's numbers, probably less than 50. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was nice to go back to the movies and all and then all that, besides the fact that there's 20 minutes of trailers, which is ridiculous. I'm so tired of 20 minutes of trailers when we all watch the trailers on the internet constantly. We don't need the trailers before movies anymore.
Yeah, there was a time when, you wanted to get there for the trailer. When we were in high school, you wanted to get there for the trailers because you didn't know what was coming out next.
Right.
Now it's we already know.
And my problem, and I tried to explain to Emma, when we were, in school, for a big movie like that, you'd have to get to the movie, 2 hours ahead of time, stand in line to try to get a good seat. Now you just pick your seat in, and you go in right when the movie starts and sit down. There's no reason for trailers. There's no reason for all the commercials before trailers. It's just start the movie, and let me get what I'm paying for.
Oh, do you know what your seat is before you go in there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When was the last time you went to the movies?
I mean, it's pre-COVID. Before that.
Maybe it was some Eastern Shore theaters you went to or something. No, when you go to the movies now, you buy your tickets and you pick your seats out, and then the seats are assigned.
The last time I went was a little Hodunk theater in Easton when I saw the new Tom Hanks Plays Mr. Rogers movie. That was the last one I saw in theaters.
Okay. No, if you go to a normal theater now, you get big. So you didn't have the big recliner chairs?
No.
And the ones down here are a little, have heaters on them too, so you can turn on the heat level.
No, that's different from what I'm familiar with.
No, that's what you get here.
No, I'm used to Jumpers Dollar Theater.
No, this is a Cinemark. Okay. You can't Jumpers is where like mice would run over your feet, like you were watching a movie.
At any point did rats run across you. And, not like a Disney Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Like a real mouse.
An actual rat.
Yes, exactly.
Run across your feet.
And you couldn't get your feet out of the way because they were stuck to the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to watch the movie with the feet up.
But no, that's not how movies work anymore.
All right. I need to go to the movie again. Yeah.
No.
All right. One of these days I'm going to do a ball form Star Wars, Josh. I've been watching them all.
Really?
I've never really seen them before. So
I strongly dislike Star Wars.
Really? I just was curious to see. And so over the past, I don't know, month or so, I've been trying to watch everything from the Star Wars world. The problem with I have, though, Josh, is even for, like, I was just finished, like, episode 6 or something, and it takes me, like, 5 sittings to get through one movie. I just can't.
Well, that's my problem. It's because it's boring.
Yeah.
It's because Star Wars is boring, and no one will admit it. No, it's boring.
I also have more going on. I don't know. Some of them are good, and some of them are not so good.
My kids make fun of me because if I watch any movie with them, I fall asleep.
Yeah.
Any movie in the house, I fall asleep.
Yeah, I have trouble getting through.
And I think it's because I can't stay awake for movies. And it's really that it's kids' movies that I've already seen before.
Yeah.
And it's always at night. It's always laying down. It's like, no, I'm worn out. I have to actually go to work while you just sit around and do nothing all day.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I start thinking about all the stuff I have to do when I watch movies sometimes.
Right.
But all right, that was a good ball four segment. So remind me again, you're going to his house tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning, yeah,
okay.
I'm told. Okay. I mean, I got some work stuff in the morning, so I'll probably get by there in the afternoon.
Okay. I'll follow your Twitter to see.
I'll make sure to update everyone on Twitter when I'm disappointed again.
Yeah. Or not so, Josh. This could be the one. This could be the time.
So, we'll see.
All right. Ready to get out of here?
Yeah. I was pausing to let you close it up.
Oh, yeah. The only thing we didn't talk about, I was just checking back my notes, is maybe we can talk about this next week. Are you aware of this new thing, Josh, where pitchers are balking on purpose?
Oh, no. Can we talk about it now? What do you mean? Now I'm intrigued.
You know the balk.
Yeah, I know the balk.
Yeah, Kelly Jansen did this a little bit ago. And then tonight, a guy for the Rays, I think, did it again on purpose. They balk on purpose.
To move now, the guy from first to second?
I didn't see the Rays situation, but what happened with Kelly Jansen, it was the 9th inning. They were up by 2 runs, and there was a runner on second base. I think there was 2 outs.
So he wanted to move him to third?
Yeah, and Jansen was concerned that he was stealing his signs at second. Like, he kept on looking back like he was stealing his signs.
All right.
And, like, he was calling the catcher over up again to, like, redo, you know how they do little secret signs. And then finally he's like, forget about it. And he balked on purpose. Like, he just kept on moving his foot on the rubber, off the rubber, on the rubber.
Until the ump would call it.
Well, then he called it himself. He said balk, and then he waved the runner over. Like, he was the umpire now. And he waved the guy from second to third. Yeah. And so the guy went to third. And then they just did straight signs with no tricks anymore.
So we're just going to start having intentional balks. Just like intentional walks. But the pitcher can call an intentional balk.
They're going all Astros on you, banging trash cans or something, standing at second base.
Yeah.
The answer is to just move the guy to third. I mean, if you're up by 2, that run doesn't really matter.
Right.
So just interesting strategy.
I want to look into that. I haven't not seen the intentional balk.
Yeah, you might. I don't know if you've ever tried it in, you know, softball.
No, we lost the softball championship on Friday.
Oh, you did. What was the score? Close?
Not really. No. I don't remember the score, but it wasn't close. It was close for like 5 innings, and then we gave up 12 runs in 1 inning.
Okay.
So that's kinda, no, the team was much better than us.
Yeah. Well, that's good. At least you beat by a better team. Yeah. But it's Florida. What, you guys, your next season starts, what, in like a week?
10 days.
Yeah, there you go, Florida. Championship game in 10 games back at it.
Yep, exactly.
All right. But yeah, look into the balking thing, because I don't know, it just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And if you're going to balk on purpose, there's a lot of things you can do, I feel like, to balk on the mound, more than just shaking a foot. I would do some goofy stuff there at the pitcher's mound to move the runner over. You got to move him over on purpose anyway.
Right, but you also got to do something that doesn't mess with your rhythm, because pitching's so mental.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I got
it's true. But yeah, look at – I think Jeff Passan tonight was tweeting about it.
All right, I'll take a look.
Jeff Passan, he's pretty good at Twitter. I like that, Jeff Passan.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter. You can also follow us on all your social media sites, Instagram, www.facebook.com, TikTok, Snapchat.
Yeah. I haven't signed us up for either of those yet.
Okay.
But as soon as you're ready to start posting.
I don't think Snapchat's still a thing anymore. I haven't heard anyone say the word Snapchat in probably a year.
I think the kids still use Snapchat.
All they ever talk about is TikTok.
Yeah, but I don't think you can send disappearing photos over TikTok.
Oh, is that for Snapchat?
That's
why I don't hear about it.
Yeah.
Kids don't talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll get into the Snapchat game.
Yeah, all right. Well, you let me know if you do. I'm not getting into it. But you can follow us on Facebook. You can like our page for all our show updates. You can like our Twitter account, Section 36 Show, for Josh's PlayStation updates.
You can do all that.
Yep. You can also follow us and join us on Patreon and go to iTunes and write us a 5-star review. You can also even just go on and talk about how much you miss Bert, as long as you still give us 5 stars. That's a fine thing to do as well. We need to get Bert back on the show.
Yeah. Maybe in October, once it, you know, Bert. Well, let's get Bert in to talk Ravens soon.
Okay, yeah.
I think he's still excited about Lamar and the Ravens.
Yeah, he's ever since Joe Flacco left, he doesn't go to Costco anymore on Sundays.
Exactly. So let's see if Bert will come back in a few weeks.
Yeah, and I'm just wanting to give a shout out to myself as we wrap up here, that I didn't mention at all my fantasy football team, which as I went back and looked at it, if we were playing in 2018, my fantasy football team would crush everybody.
Yeah, the problem
sadly,
is
though, it's 2021.
Hey, but it'll be fun. We'll talk about it next week because you and I play each other this weekend.
Oh man,
to kick off our fantasy football season.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
Josh, after drafting, has already put claims on 10 players to completely replace his drafted team.
I put claims on one player.
Oh, me too. I hope it's not the same player.
because I was able to clear a spot and put a guy on IR.
Yeah. All right.
So.
All right, boys and girls, we can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at Section336. You can also follow Josh on Twitter.
At Josh Soroka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go Hawks. And go Ravens. We are the bad birds, and we run this town. When we step into the yard, we must protect this house. We are the bad birds, haven't you heard? In the curve. And we really don't care what the haters say. We'll be rocking from the city to the Chesapeake Bay. We are the bad birds and we run this town. Everybody knows we ain't messing around.